Hello, I'm Cindy Brannan, and I'm going to be talking about Hecate's triplicities. Hecate is often featured as a three-formed goddess, and you may already be familiar with beautiful images such as this one that Mary Martinez created exclusively for Keeping Her Keys, that portray Hecate either as having three distinct embodiments, three heads. Sometimes these are animal heads even. Sometimes these triplicities are demonstrating various aspects of Hecate. And I would say more often, they are demonstrating Hecate's deep association with different goddesses. And let's just start by lifting up what is meant by different goddesses and different faces of the goddess in my teachings. So in my teachings, Hecate is the embodiment of anima mundi, the very essence of the world. And anima refers to the primordial feminine force, whereas animus refers to the primordial masculine force. The world is birthed through anima and balanced through animus in psychological terms. So the two are interdependent. It's a very cyclic relationship. My teaching, I tend to focus again on Hecate as anima, the supreme representation of the divine sacred feminine force. And Hecate, as this primordial force, as anima mundi, as the ancient philosophers portrayed her, within that river, that energy stream, she brings with her different faces. Now, we can experience these faces through her many epithets, and I do have classes available that you can find on the Keeping Her Keys YouTube, or if you're in the Keeping Her Keys Coven, you'll find them as well on epithetikeia, which is the use of these different aspects or archetypes, these energy currents that emanate from Hecate as anima mundi. What I'm going to be talking about today is her three-formed self in conjunction to different goddesses. Specifically, I'm going to feature three triplicities that come to us from antiquity, and that in my observations and analysis of contemporary practitioners and seekers of Hecate in the deeper world, that these goddesses often become part of the dreamscape and the visionary scape, you know, the imagination and so on. So the three triplicities I'm going to focus on are Hecate with her daughters of Circe and Medea, which I write about in my book, Entering Hecate's Garden. The triplicity of Hecate, Persephone, and Demeter, which I've written some articles on Persephone and Demeter. And I also have an article on keepingherkeys.com/read on Hecatean relationships that might be helpful to go deeper with this video if you want to do that. And then the third triplicity is Hecate, Artemis, and Selene. So I thought we would have this discussion on these three triplicities, and then I'm going to direct you to a meditation that goes deeper into these triplicities through a journey deep into Hecate's garden, where you will gather around her well to drink the magic medicine and mystery, another triplicity, of Hecate and these goddesses. So let's begin by discussing Hecate and her daughters. So through mythology, we learn about these different stories of Circe and Medea and how they all intersect with Hecate. And in some of the myths, we do see Medea and Circe portrayed as her literal daughters, as literal as a myth can ever be. If we unpack that, and if you read in Entering Hecate's Garden, I discuss a lot about how they are her spiritual daughters, how Hecate, as this ancient primordial goddess, you know, that's descended from sort of earlier all mother goddess figures in, you know, ancient writings, that she was deeply associated with magic and the night, the land, bounty, and also harm. She really was this all-encompassing goddess that was darkness and light and the balance in between. So there is that triplicity kind of embedded in, you know, the most ancient and also the most intimate understandings of Hecate. And that these daughters of hers carried that DNA with them. So Circe was very connected to the magic of the green world and Pharmakeia, as was Medea. And it's really this triplicity that gets at the heart of the practice of Hecatean witchcraft as a deeply archetypal, psychological, and spiritual path. And Circe and Medea symbolize the power of the green world, the power of plant spirits, for both blessing and bane, and the balance in between. So that really gets at the heart of this triplicity, you know, that we can be those who bring blessing and we can be those who bring harm. We are light and dark, and we are all the spaces in between. And in the book, I write about Circe as the Regina Pharmakeia, queen of plant spirit witchcraft. And I write about Medea as Regina Veneficarum, which is a bit of a play on history, and as the queen of poison. And we can look to those stories and our personal experiences of these daughters of Hecate to really understand our own connection to the natural world, and also to understand poison, that poison is that which heals. You know, we are wounded and we heal. So that is the first triplicity. And I have lessons in the Keeping Your Keys Coven of Hecate network that you can go deeper. And you can certainly read Entering Hecate's Garden to go deeper into that triplicity. So that is a triplicity that really represents magic. You know, the casting of spells, those projections out into the world of what we are manifesting, what we desire. The second triplicity I want to talk about is one that I'm going to label as a triplicity of medicine, which is the triplicity of Persephone, Demeter, and Hecate. And you may be familiar with the mythology around Persephone. In popular culture, we often see Persephone story very truncated, that we get Persephone as what's known as Kore, the maiden who is abducted by Hades against her will. Demeter kind of loses her mind and laments this whole situation. Hecate steps in as divine mediator to help to negotiate a deal. Persephone becomes queen of the underworld and is very much a goddess of adaptation and rising above in terms of what she symbolizes. She doesn't just stop at being the brokenhearted maiden, and Demeter doesn't just stop at being the brokenhearted mother. And Hecate's role continues as this mediator who guides and counsels and supports them as Persephone makes her annual migration to and from the underworld. And when we look into the mythology of this triplicity, we really learn so much about our own witch's journey, our own journey through darkness to wholeness. And I'm teaching a new course that is called Lampadios, that's going to be starting soon, that's very much about this journey and really getting into the medicine of the archetypal story of Persephone, Demeter, and Hecate. when we think about, from a psychological lens, what the story of Hecate, Demeter, and Persephone, what that means to us, what medicine is there for us to be nourished by, it is that Demeter, in a sense, represents the outer self, you know, the ego, the persona, and so on that we project out into the world. And Persephone is about the inner self, the underworld self. And when we are just lamenting and being, you know, like, this can't be happening, this is horrible, that, you know, when Demeter first started that journey, there was no leaning into the suffering. But Persephone ultimately leans into the suffering. And Hecate, as Lampadios, the torchbearer, helped to negotiate the terms of Persephone's reign over the underworld, or alliance with the dark god, the very, you know, the animus within. If we think back to the start of the video when I talked about Hecate as Anima Mundi, Hades, or Pluto, as he's also called, represents the anima, the animus within. So we have Hecate as anima, and in this mythology, Hades as animus, the darkness, the dark masculine energy that is within all of us. So that's his role, is to say there are these parts of us that we don't want to confront, we want to avoid, and we can feel very abducted by these, our shadow self. But as we go into the shadow realm, we learn to make peace with it, and we learn to lean into it. And like Persephone, we literally become the queen of what once was our internal hell, is now actually, you know, it's the bones and blood that we build our throne upon. So that is the triplicity of medicine: Hecate, Persephone, and Demeter. Now I'm going to finish this talk just focusing a little bit on the triplicity of mystery. So we have this other triplicity that's often portrayed in historical records of Hecate, Artemis, and Selene. Artemis sometimes may be less familiar to you. To the Romans, she became Diana, and you may be more familiar with her as the goddess named Diana. Selene became Luna, and she's also known as Mene. So we have this triplicity, this three-formed goddess going across time and different cultures. And there is a lot of merging of Hecate and Artemis in the historical records. So it's a really fascinating exploration of how in different areas within the ancient Mediterranean and the Near East, that Hecate and Artemis were understood in very similar ways. We might have an understanding of Artemis Diana today as a goddess of the hunt. And more of, again, like if we think back to the Kore Persephone, more of a truncated way. But there is such a deep history of Artemis and her connections to Hecate. And if you're in the coven, I have a lesson on Artemis. And if you just want to read a blog, I have a really long blog that's a lesson in and of itself on the keepingyourkeys.com website as well. So you can dive in to Artemis energy. And Artemis in mythology was Apollo's twin. And Artemis was associated with the moon and Apollo the sun. So we have a different version of animus here, in kind of like hovering around this triplicity of the Helios vibe. So we have the triplicity of medicine, which is the darkness, and with this we have the triplicity of mystery, where there is a solar kind of astrological, celestial, starry road element, not beyond the moon to the sun. And it's interesting to just pause here for a moment to lift that up, that in a lot of the ancient writings, whether it's philosophy or religious practices, that the sacred feminine, in terms of the cultures I'm talking about, the sacred feminine embodied as Hecate, Artemis, and Selene was associated with the moon, and the masculine energy was associated with the sun. So the moon was seen again more as like the anima mundi that permitted life on earth, whereas the sun was like this father god of the cosmos. And again, it's the anima and animus coming together in a way that is interdependent and cyclical. So we have that little bit, you know, the solar vibe when we go into the mysteries too, the deeper, the starry energy that is this greater expansive cosmos, whereas the moon is more intimate. And we see this, of course, reflected in astrology as well, where our sun sign in popular astrology is very much about our outward projection. So again, we're getting back into that Demeter aspect, right? The outward projection, the sun sign projection. So that's that energy. But this triplicity is really about the lunar energy, the mysteries within. And we see that when we look at our moon sign too. It's very much about our inner life. It's very much about the journey inward to discover our own mysteries. Selene in the ancient mythology was the embodiment of the moon itself. And there are some beautiful stories from the historical records about, you know, Hecate's cave, and that the moon kind of ascends from this cave. And symbolically, this cave is the very center of the world. So the world, the planet Earth, births the moon every night at sundown to watch over and protect us, and symbolizes Hecate's torches in this way. And then the moon descends back into the cave, the cauldron, the very core of the planet, the, you know, before the sun rises, at sunrise, and then it's repeated. And that this was Selene's trek, much like Helios's trek did the same similar thing with the sun. And it's interesting that, you know, like in terms of planetary science, that there is this theory that that is the moon indeed did kind of emerge, actually break off of the planet. So we see this beautiful mirroring that the moon really is of the earth and makes life on earth possible, that without the moon, there would be no life, that the sun is necessary, but without the moon, things could not be as they are. So that is very much about the mystery of the moon. You know, that the moon's origins, even though we might have theories from science, it really harkens to this very mystical association between us as inhabitants of this planet and the moon. And that it is very much about going into the darkness and finding our own inner wisdom and finding that energy within us, the sacredness within us. For that is the greatest mystery of all, is that we are not separate from the goddesses. We are indeed the embodiment of anima mundi, also animus. And that as we go inward, as that moon shines, you know, those nights when we spend time under the moon contemplating Hecate as a goddess of the moon, as the progenitor of the moon, and Artemis as the wild one who, you know, works her mysteries and does her hunting and searching for the mystery under the moonlight, and Selene, who is the moon herself. So those are three, I would say those are the three most common triplicities of Hecate that come to us from ancient mythology and history and imagery and so on. There are certainly many other triplicities that Hecate is featured as part of in the records from antiquity. Now, in modern senses, there is this kind of neo-pagan triplicity that Hecate is often pictured as the crone. So that there is a maiden, that there is a mother, that there is a crone. So if we layer the triplicity of Persephone, Demeter, and Hecate on the maiden mother crone model, you can see how that, if we just have like this really kind of shallow understandings of all three goddesses, you could see you know, if we knew like 1% of their mythology and we didn't have any personal experiences of them, that we might say, oh yeah, so Persephone is the maiden and Demeter is the mother and Hecate is the crone, the wise woman. But when we expand our field of vision, both through our sacred imaginations, so we can get into the dreams and the visions and the knowings and such, and also when we study the mythology, how others have envisioned and experienced these goddesses, we see that this maiden mother crone cycle really is a denouncement of the beautiful breadth and depth of each of these goddesses. To, you know, it's so reductive, right? And when, and it also reduces within us how we can understand our own complexities, that we can be simultaneously maiden, mother, and crone. And that, you know, we may be at the maiden stage of our lives, but very wise-like and crone-like in other areas. So using that triplicity can be really helpful as long as we don't see it in this kind of, you know, almost like, you know, if you're looking through something like this, all you can kind of see, like if you've got this telescope, all you're going to see is straight ahead. But really, we want to expand that so we can see the whole beautiful landscape that these goddesses inhabit. And I, you know, I just, my hope is that you'll sit with these triplicities and explore them, how they present in your own self and how they appear in your visions and dreams. Let them, you know, do some sacred drawing if you're an artist. Just allow that which is within you already, because the forces of these goddesses, their mythologies inhabit you already. And it is a beautiful process of unfolding to these triplicities within and connecting to them as deeper goddesses that represent the many, some of the many faces of Hecateia's Anima Mundi.